Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم
5 minutes after 11 Central African Time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Johannesburg. We welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM and our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hati, and of course our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who's with us this morning here in the studios. We welcome our beloved engineer brother Bondface. Remember our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132 International overseas listeners +27 84 786 3132. Well, it's the 11th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1443. We welcome our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, it's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan.
Listener says, Ustad, my sister is currently in Iddat. She lost her husband. Now recently her brother-in-law keeps coming to the house to see her. Is this allowed as he is not her mahram, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us look at the sequence of events. There was a couple, the husband passed away. Allah Jalla Wala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. You the family, you the widow, you should be reading the following du'as and learning it by hearting it. Surah chapter 14 verse 41. Rabbana filli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim and verse 41. And Surah chapter 59 verse 10. And that is Surah Hashr. Rabbana fil lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabakuna bil iman. Oh beloved Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with iman. So that's first thing. Second thing, you are in iddat from time of death, you my sister. You must calculate Islamic calendar, Gregorian calendar, anyone, the result will be the same. 130 days, 130 days. You cannot wear new clothes, you cannot wear jewelry, you can't apply henna, mendi, nothing to do with beautification and so forth, and you stay in the house. Thereafter, now your brother-in-law, your sister's husband, he wants to be the good Samaritan. He knows there's nobody in the house, the children are gone to school, your husband is deceased, you are alone, so now he's going to try and soften you up. So he'll bring money, he'll bring grocery, he will say, you know, I want to help you. But the aim is not that. I know of so many incidents where somebody took advantage of the widow after softening him up, telling him he's no more welcome there and it's haram for him to come there, he's not your mahram, nothing. So you must tell him that he must send your sister and he must not come at all. all, and you must stand firm on that decision. Don't allow any strange men to come there to your house, and more so when you're alone. So always be firm. Allah will give you what you require. Never sell your principles, and never let the shayateen and Lucifer and his agents come and soften you up. So this is an old tactic. The men are always a hunter. They're looking for someone who is vulnerable, and you are vulnerable now, so they will try and play the good Samaritan, but they have a hidden agenda and ulterior motive behind it. Allah protect us.
Somebody says, Ustad, could you please help us regarding this issue? In court, you have to testify that the lady is no longer your wife, but before the court case, it was agreed by both husband and wife that it is not an Islamic divorce. Anonymous, Ustad.
Here we have two separate issues. One is you were in the masjid, in the mosque, and there your nikah was performed. So that nikah is still valid between you and your wife, between wife and husband. Then you had a fallout, or for tax purposes, or whatever else purposes. So you went to court now to finish and nullify your civil marriage. Your civil marriage is what you registered there in court, or in home affairs and what have you, and so forth. So there the husband says that this lady is no more my wife, or the wife says that, remember, this person is no more my husband. So fine, your civil marriage will be finished, but that will not impact on your nikah. Your marriage, your nikah Islamically is still valid, and you the husband, in the interim, you are married 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you never ever issued talaq, so you still have 3 talaqs in your possession, and your nikah is still valid. Only the civil marriage now is dissolved, and it no more. So that is the short and tall of it. So that is how you must understand it.
The brother says, Ya Ustaz, that my wife, she keeps Rosa every day, Monday to Thursday. Is this healthy or permitted in Islam? I'm fed up, Ustad.
So you must remember, what roza is she keeping? If she is keeping qada roza because she missed so many, so that is fine. You still got Friday, Saturday, Sunday to play games with her, mashallah. And remember that you got Monday to Thursday at night also. And so you can't complain. If your wife is keeping sunnah roza, nafil roza, then she must take your permission. She can't keep that without your permission. So if it is voluntary roza, so my and sunnat roza, so my advice to you, hubby, will be, tell her, oh poppy, oh darling, oh sweetheart, this is the compromise. You keep fast Mondays and Thursdays, and 5 days a week you don't keep fast. So in that way there, you will be happy, Allah will be happy, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be happy, because she is reviving the Mubarak blessed sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chapter 3 verse 31, fattabi'uni, follow me, habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immaculately yuhibbukumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins.
Ustad, listen to the question here. It says, Mufti Sahib, I was married for 1 week, then divorced my wife. I then moved on with my life and immigrated. I left my ex with lots of money and left. Now 15 years later, I am thinking, do I or do I not have a child from her? How do I find out, as our families never met after divorce? Anonymous, Ustad.
So let us get the sequence of events, my brother, that because your question is a bit like an open question. So I have to verify it first. Mm-hmm. You got married, and the marriage lasted for 1 week only. In that, obviously, you admit you consummated the marriage with her. Allah alone knows why you divorced her, but anyway, you divorced her. So out of sight, out of mind. So while you were gone overseas, you went to Dublin, you went to London, you went to Hong Kong, wherever, and now after 15 years, you woke up from your slumber and whatever, and now she gave birth long time ago. Now you want to question, you must remember whether the child is yours or not. Obviously it's your child. Al-waladu li-firash, you must remember you consummated the marriage with her. She fell pregnant. You did not know about it at that time. And you divorced her for reasons unknown to us. You don't have to tell us, it's water under the bridge. But now, if you are questioning whose child is that, it's your child. And it seems for 14 years you neglected the child. Now the child, the daughter, has blossomed into a beautiful lady. That son has become the apple of people's eye. Now you want to re-enter her life. Now you should be asking yourself, where were you for the past 14, 15 years? Who are supporting the child? Were you not so shirking your responsibilities, brother? Instead of asking all that, you shirked your responsibilities. Now you want to put a question mark on her chastity and say, I don't know whose child it is. You should be saying, what should I do? I am the guilty party that I did not take care of my child for 14, 15 years. That is the question, my brother, you should have been asking. Second one, you left a lot of wealth with her by your own admission. It's haram for you to take back 1 cent also. Surah 4 verses 20-21. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. You gave your wives millions, Quran says. قِنْطَارًا الْأَمْوَالُ الْكَثِيرًا. Thereafter, divorce, talaq took place. فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. You're not allowed to take back anything from her. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهُتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Are you going to cast aspersions on her? That's what you are doing. It's a major, major sin. Allah says, وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ. How can you take the money back from her, or the gold, or the gifts, or whatever you gave to her? وَقَدْ أَفَضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. You deflowered her. You had your fun and games with her. وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And she took from you a solemn pledge. It was not buying a car, or a computer, or a cell phone. This is nikah. There were witnesses involved. Allah's name is involved. There was the permission of the wali, her father, her family member. So all this here Quran speaks about. So my brother, I don't know you. I don't know your ex-wife. I don't know your child. But if I was you, then I should send a letter of apology and say, I am the criminal and I have neglected my daughter, my son, whatever the case is. Please forgive me. I want to address and redress the situation. The marriage is finished, but at least give me a second chance. That is what you should be doing, my brother.
I see the brother says, dear Mufti Saab, it was over 200,000 rand. And he says, Mufti Saab, I want that money or else I'm prepared to go to court. Ustad.
You can go to court. You can do whatever is totally haram money for you. You must remember that. Never mind 200,000. It can be 20 million also. It's totally haram for you to take it. And I'll tell the lady, the day he decides to go to court, you send me or you send to the Majlisul Ulama or Darul Ifta, Darul Zakaria or anybody. And tell them they must give you a written fatwa. Can a Muslim husband who divorced his wife and now waking up after 15 years demand the money back? Absolutely haram for you. You should be ashamed of yourself, my brother.
Ustad, if a man gives his wife talaqul ba'in, right, Ustad, and they have been living their separate lives for a very long period of time, can the ex-spouse get remarried to the person they wish to? Ustad, anonymous.
Remember that in Islam, if the husband gave his wife a talaq raj'i, a revocable divorce, one revocable or two revocable talaq raj'i, then during the iddat you can take your wife back. This is enshrined in the noble Quran. At-talaq marratan. That, remember that talaq raj'i, the revocable divorce, that will be twice. Then during the iddat you take your wife back. Fa imsakun bima'ruf. That is, you take her back without a new nikah. Or you leave her, or tasrihum bi ihsan, you release her and give her gifts and presents and so forth. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 2, verse 229. Now if you gave talaq ba'in, so that is irrevocable. So if you gave one talaq ba'in, so in a case like that, now whether you want to marry her, during the iddat or after the iddat, it seems long period have passed, absence make the heart grow fonder, there might be a child or children involved, now you are thinking of reconciling. So you from the husband's side, if you have that, so remember you can reconcile with her with these conditions. She must be prepared to remarry you. Her family, her father and them must give permission. And third one, a new nikah must be performed. And remember, you have to give her mahar and everything. And if this was the first time you issued a talaq, you only have two divorces left in the future.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. I love your answers, Ustad. This one says, dear Mulana Arafat and Mulana Mufti Saab, I'm in love with this girl. Very in love. For 3 years, we had good memories, dear Mufti Saab. Now when I decided to propose to her, she says no. I'm a varsity student. Ustad.
Yes, what you are doing 3 years. That's why I told you university is haram for you ladies. Either you will lose your virginity, either you lose your haya and shame and modesty, or either you lose your iman and Islam. So here's a typical example of it. So if you were touching her, you were smooching her, you were kissing her, all these type of things. Now she realized that you are just using her and wasting your time. So when you propose, she told you go fly a kite and so forth. So she found somebody better. So all her family objected and so forth. So you must say, Alhamdulillah, I'm reading 2 rakat salat to shukr, and Allah Ta'ala must forgive me. And both of you need to make sincere tawbah. You were involved in a zina relationship. Quran calls the zina. Wala taqrabu zina. Don't go near fornication and adultery. So the muqaddamah, the introduction, the things that lead to fornication or adultery for that matter are also considered as zina in Islam, although the punishment will be different. So both parties must make tawbah and remember that both of you forget one another, block the numbers and out of sight, out of mind. And now it was a haram relationship, illicit relationship. And both of you beg Almighty Allah, Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh, beloved Allah, grant us our spouses, grant us our children that are the coolness of the eyes. You, my brother, who posted this question, I pose one question to you. Why didn't you marry her in the first year, second year, third year? Why? You will say, but I got nothing, I'm a student. So I also got married when I was a student. I had nothing. Then my mahar also, my father paid for me. Every month he used to send me money and so forth. It's a student's life. We never had a fridge, we never had a stove, we never had bed. We used to sleep on the floor, on a mattress. So all these things. So that is how you love, and then you start building on your marriage. When you buy the cow, the milk will come itself. So my brother, you need to understand this. So you are to blame more. She is also to blame. So forget her. Bad news for both of you. So you must go your way, she must go her way. No sense pursuing the matter now. She gave you a kick. So forget it. It was a blessing in disguise for you.
The varsity brother says, Shukran Ustaz, Jazakumullah for the advice. But at least I want my most expensive watch that I bought for her and the cell phone, Ustaz. I did a lot for her and I spent a lot of money on her, Ustaz.
Yeah, but you were smooching her, you were kissing her, so you can't pay free of charge, you know? And you can't take anything back. It's all haram there. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. So you gave her a smart watch, a smart cell phone, and now she gave you her lips, lucky lips. You see, a lot of things happen, my brother. So when you gave haram, she gave haram, so forget everything. When you give a gift to a person, then you demand it back because things turn sour. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, the person who gave the gift and then you demand it back after that person took possession of it, using it and so forth. Your example, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is like a dog. That the dog dog goes and vomit and then licks it. Forget it, my brother. So if you are sincere, make sincere tawbah. See, I give you an ayat, a verse that will motivate you. And this ayat is every verse is a miracle, but certain verses, they motivate you so many a time in life. Life is of challenges. Remember, life, there are vicissitudes. You will go through ups and downs in life. And those ups and downs, they bring us nearer to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So write it down, my brother, university student. Che, you like references, so write it down. Make a note of it on your phone. So, chapter number 8, Surah Anfal, verse 70. Chapter 8, verse 70, 70. Ya'lamillahu fi qulubikum khayra. When Allah Ta'ala knows there's goodness in your heart, yu'tikum khayran mimma ukhidha minkum. Allah will give you somebody something better compared to that which was taken away from you. Wa yaghfir lakum, and forgive you. So remember that you're going to say, give this back, she will say this. Why open the lines of communication again? Finish, you go your way, I go my way, and I made a big mistake, I will beg Allah for forgiveness, and you cry to Allah, it is your promise, Ya Allah, that when we beg you, you will give us something better. Forgive me and give me something better. Surah 8, Surah Anfal, verse 70. Speak to Allah, my brother. Forget all the smooching and kissing and touching and all that. All that is mamnu, totally haram and not permissible.
I see there's a brother says, I tried calling Mufti Saab several times this morning, but Mufti Saab didn't take my call. And he wants to come and see Mufti Saab after the bliss of marriage. I have a very, very suspicious wife. She calls me every hour on the hour. So Mufti Saab, I keep telling her to stop calling, or I will call it quits. She still don't listen. Do I now give her one talaq? I'm on my way to you, Ustad.
No, you can't come here and all that. We're not running some charity shop here and that. You come here when you feel like and all that. I don't allow visitors here who just come here and that you got problem and make it our problem. No. You go here to the Jamiat and them, they got social workers, they got all this there. And remember, so good thing I didn't take your call if that was the thing. So maybe I was resting or what have you. So you must remember, my brother, we don't know what is the true story and so forth. When the husband gives his story, then the wife will tell you her story, and then you must get the true story. So please, I'm telling you three things. Don't come here. I don't have time for this, and I don't deal with these matters. Number two, I'm telling you, go here in Jamiat and here in Lens. They got social workers. They got departments for all this. You go by them. Or go by any other ulama you got confidence in. Two. Three, remember in the it's very easy to blame the wife. But if the wife comes and says he made this call to this lady, or he made that call to that lady, or I caught him, you understand, watching the porn and busy on the chat sites. So what do we say then? So I'm not saying you did it. I'm saying the possibility is there. Then it's easy to try and twist the facts, you know, and say, no, my wife is very suspicious and very... For woman to have ghira, to jealously guard her marriage and her husband, Islam says that's a very good quality. So you need to understand this, my brother. Please don't come here.
I see the sister message now, Ustad, saying that, dear Mufti Saab, I'm listening to you. Why doesn't he tell you the truth? He was caught with our maid, dear Mufti Saab, and now he's saying that I'm being over God. Please, Mufti Saab, tell him that he's wrong what he did. Ustad.
You see, dan khandi papa dance. That's it there. You see? That's exactly what I said. I spoke about the internet. I spoke about phone call. Yeah, your wife is telling us that you were busy doing some unda danda. They were the domestic. So you were firing on all cylinders there, brother. So remember, so now what? You come here by me. So Islamically, once you are found guilty, we must take you to the court, and death penalty, you must remember, if either you admit to the crime of adultery, or either we have four male witnesses. Think properly, my brother. Your whole question from the start, I could make out, was a loaded question to cover your tracks, but we didn't fall in your trap, you must remember, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy. So there your wife spoke now. So therefore, I'm telling you, you don't come here, go back to your wife, your wife is prepared to forgive you, and you ask her for forgiveness and keep your phone always by her. She got all the right to check your phone, with who you are chatting, with who you are doing, because your track record is like that, my brother. So you want to solve the problem, so that is how you solve your problem. Rebuild the trust and look after your rifle. Don't go park everywhere and anywhere.
My husband says that we must make salami every night, Ustad. I never grew up with this, and I find it very strange. Tell me more what salami is all about. Revered sister Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala commands us, my sister, Alhamdulillah, you made the right choice to embrace Islam. And remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informs us, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Tell the people who are non-Muslim, once they embrace Islam, then their sins which they committed against all Almighty Allah, the past 10, 20, 50 years, whatever the case is, that all that is forgiven. So imagine you made the right choice, and this is enshrined and mentioned in the noble Quran. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla," that verily Islam erases, expunges the sins of the past. So you should be going to chapter 8, Surah Anfal, and verse 38. Chapter 8, Surah 8 verse 38, okay? So Surah 8 verse 38. So that is first thing. Second thing is this, that now you, my sister, you must know what Quran Sharif teaches us. Surah 33 verse 56, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Verily you, Allah Ta'ala, and his angels, they send salawat, salutations upon Nabi Musallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Read salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very good to do that. And on a Friday, remember that you increase the amount and quantity. Authentic hadith in Ibn Majah, Thursday night, Friday, akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah. The problem you, my sister, and your husband are having is your husband is telling you every night you must stand and you must face Medina or something, and then you read. That got no basis in Islam, that every day you must do it like that, you must stand, and it's compulsory to stand and all that. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the noble Quran teaches us, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, that the pious people are those who remember Almighty Allah standing, sitting, reclining. So you read salawat, durood sharif, the one we read in salat, that is the best. In any posture, there's no such thing like that what your husband is telling you. He's just following tradition and custom, his forefathers, his babab dada em karta huta. That's what they will tell you. My father did it, my grandfather did it, my nana did it, so we must. That's wrong. Islam don't work like that. So you must tell him, we both sit and we read durood sharif, remember any amount of times, very good. But not that you must stand, you must do this, and you must read so many times and that. Islam don't say all those things. And the verse I quoted, you can remember Allah, any posture, any position. Surah number 3, verse number 191. So common sense, which is not so common nowadays, when you can remember Allah in all posture, all position, then obviously you can read salat and salam, durood sharif in all posture and so forth. When we read at-tashahud, we read at-tahiyyat, then we read salami, and what we read, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid, we're in a sitting position, so at least knock some sense into him.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, the brother that said about regarding the suspicious wife, he's asking that now Mufti Sahib, you turn against me, you don't want to see me, now my wife exposes me. Why is Allah doing this to me? I just rather meet up in an accident and leave the dunya, Ustad.
You see, that's the problem. Yeah, when you are guilty, then remember you lie, and then when you are caught, then you say that you must remember, let me end my life. You must be the one. I don't, not for you. I don't accept anybody here. If I have to start dealing with marital problems, I'll be busy every day from now right till midnight. So I don't get involved in this. things. I will tell you on the air or on the phone, and I'll always tell you, go to your local ulama, go to the jamiyat, go to whoever you want to. Remember that in whom you have confidence. I got nothing, I don't even know you. But the problem is you, my brother. You lied, first of all. Second one is this, now your wife exposed you. So remember, go back to your wife. Ask her for forgiveness. Go back to Almighty Allah's mercy. Reach Allah to Tawbah. And cry to Allah. Chapter 39, verse 53. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never become disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Almighty Allah will forgive all the sins. So Allah is prepared to forgive you. Allah. But you don't want to admit it. So first step, admit your wrong. Be honest to your wife. Yes, something happened. Your wife will forgive you if you are sincere. Second one, ask Allah for forgiveness. And the sign that Allah has accepted your tawbah, you don't commit this type of crimes anytime in future. But you must know, in a true Islamic country, then the punishment for adultery is the death penalty. And all four schools agree on that. There's no two opinions. Now what you want to do, you want me to look bad, which I'm not going to look bad for. I don't even know you. You want your wife to look bad when she is innocent and you are guilty. So my brother, don't play the blame game. You call this the blame game. You are guilty, but you want others to feel guilty. So you are the culprit, and you must make peace with your family and with Almighty Allah. End of the day, we all commit sin. Allah Jalla Wala loves it when we admit to our wrong and we beg Almighty Allah for forgiveness.
I see the brother is crying with time and he's asking for maaf, dear Mufti Sahib.
100% from my side is all maaf. I'm there to help you, my brother. But to help you, you must be help yourself and be honest to yourself.
Let's go to Mauritius, Ustad. I remarried, dear Mufti Sahib, but had a child from my first marriage. I have two daughters from my second marriage. My ex passed away with my second husband and my son in a car accident. How is inheritance from both husbands and son distributed to me and my current daughters, Ustad?
Remember, the way I understand your question is this, that your husband, the first one, and you were married, there was a child involved, a son, I think, and now he passed away. So he doesn't, you and he, you've got nothing to do with one another. You divorced from him. So you don't inherit anything from him, your first husband, right? So you don't inherit anything because you divorced. It's end of the story. That's how you got married to your second husband. So that is out of the equation. Your son that passed away, so there, so from him you will inherit because you are the biological mother. So remember that. So you will inherit 1/6 as a mother, so of that son there. So you must claim that 1/6 from them and whoever are the family, other family members or whatever, and tell them you are the biological mother. And remember, they know about it, the family. So you can, after the funeral expenses, the death of the deceased, and remember that the, what if they made wasiya for non-heirs, 1/3 maximum amount, and then the shares of the heirs. So from that son of yours, the mother, you will receive 1/6. So that will be your share in that case there. Then from your current husband, if he passes away, so I don't know whether his parents are alive or not, but I'll give you both ways. So if he passes away from before you, so you will receive 12.5%. And then the daughters that you have with him, the second husband, they will receive 2/3. There's no brother involved here now. And then if he has parents alive, so they will get 1/6, 1/6 each. So if the mother is alive, 1/6. If the father is alive, 1/6. If both are alive, 1/6, 1/6. So let's go through it again. So from your son who passed away, Allah give them all Jannatul Firdaus. They passed away in a tragic accident, and they passed away Shaheed and Shuhada. So Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. So your share from your deceased son will be 1/6, right? Just under 17%. And the current husband, if he passes away before you, we don't know whether his parents are alive or not, but anyway, we'll explain it to you. So your share will be 12.5%. Your daughter's share will be 2/3. And if his parents are alive, 1/6, 1/6, and that is how the shares will be distributed.
That's That's correct, Ustad. That's why the listener says from Mauritius and they want the podcast of this, Ustad.
Yes, send the number to Mona Arafat. He will send you the podcast, inshallah. And in that way there, make sure everything is done Islamically.
I see Ma from Newcastle says, Beta, I'm now going to be 70 years old. In our time, there was no such thing, all the stories and listening of divorce. Hunkarwano, Ustad. Ma from Newcastle.
Ma, who karwano, apre nanda ne dua karwano, ma. That tamara zamana, ma. I'm also near you, ma. I'm in my 60s, you 70. So remember, khuda na khauf hutu. People used to fear Allah. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne muhabbat hoti. That people love the master alayhi salam. The parents had common sense. They would tell their beti, oh darling, oh beti, see, you're going to that house. You stay there. And your janaza must come out from there. Today parents tell the daughter, if that mother-in-law tell you nonsense, you just tell us, we'll come pick you up. So where's the parents' common sense? The first people you need to give a good threshing is the parents also. That they put up the daughter and incite her, instead of making the home, they'll break the home. See now, just now the brother said, one work marriage and everything tore forth and now and on. After 15 years he woke up. So maybe he joined as Habeker for something. So I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, the point I'm making here is this. You see, I perform a nikah, Mona Arafat perform, anybody perform. So we read certain verses from the noble Quran. The sad part is, the groom, he wants, Maulvi sahab, make quick, we haven't got time for long stories. The girl there, the bride who's getting married, she's busy with her hairdo and hairstyle and with her gown and with her all those, you know, photos and videos. That the message before the ijab and kabul, the proposal and acceptance, every verse has to do with taqwa and piety. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. These are the verses any Maulana, any Imam, any Mufti sahab, Sheikh will read, because these are the sunnat verses to read to give the bride and the groom a message. You want a successful, prosperous message, marriage, then it must be based on iman and taqwa. Then you will go, your marriage will become a bed of roses. But once the iman is weak or there's no taqwa, then it becomes a bed of thorns and huge problems. That is our problem nowadays.
Allahu Akbar. Ustad, listen to this one. Yes, from Roshni. Mufti Sahab, I'm listening to you right now. I just received a letter from my husband giving me one talaqul ba'in, and this is for disrespecting his mommy. Mufti Sahab, I need some du'as from you. And we have two little girls, sister from Roshni Ustaj, and she's crying.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. Therefore, from day one, remember that Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, hadha min fadli rabbi, hadha rahmatu min rabbi. I made up my mind when I came into this field of media, we will leave it open so people can pour their heart out. Normally, we love to push things under the carpet and say everything is hunky-dory. You don't solve problems like that. Now, what you need to do, sister, is this, who's right, who's wrong, that we can go into afterwards. The fact remains, he sent you a message, and it is from your husband, is confirmed. So now you have to go into iddat. Your iddat will be, remember, three menses, salatata quru. And if you are in menses now, this menses will not be counted, another three menses. And when the third menses end, then remember your iddat, your waiting period will finish. Second one, you must make sure that he, your ex-husband, he must pay for you all your expenses, and remember your rental, water, lights, clothing, whatever and so forth during the iddat period. And for your two flowers and two daughters, he must continue paying all the expenses till they get married. Don't waste time with the jamiat and ulama and me. We don't have executive power. We can't implement. We all are just consultative. We can just consult, give you this advice advisory capacity. If he doesn't pay you for the iddat period, he doesn't pay for the children, your two flowers, you take him to court. You must remember that. And you take him to the cleaners and make sure he must pay for that. So now, the question I have to ask and think aloud. He says, and that is what you are echoing also, he divorced you because you were disrespectful to his mother. But did he tell you or did you tell him that remember whatever favors you did to his mother, you were doing it from the goodness of your heart and it was not compulsory upon you to do so. Therefore, in the context of talaq and divorce, every verse in the Quran you must wonder, ponder. Our problem is today we just read the Quran for sawab, for sawab. Sawab you will get, but that is not the main purpose of the Quran. Remember that. The main purpose of the Quran Sharif, Kitabun Anzalnahu Ilayka Mubarakun Liyadabbaru Ayatihi. You, Ya Rasul Allah, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we reveal this Quran Sharif to you. It is a Mubarak book. It's a Mubarak, blessed everything. Why? Liyadabbaru. If you understood even the rudiments, the basics of the Arabic language, so you continue wondering, pondering, reflecting in the Quranic verses. So we must wonder what is the message, reflect over that. وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, and the people of intelligence must take heed from there. Surah 38, chapter 38 and verse number 29. Commenting on this verse, chapter 38, verse 29. Commenting on this verse, Hazrat Hassan Basri, Rahimahullah, the sage of the age, used to say, many thousands of people say they completed the Quran. Wallahi ma qara'a harfan min al-Quran. I take an oath on Allah. They never read one word of the Quran. Because they just read, but they don't want to understand the message of the Quran. So if your husband thought about this before sending you that message, remember he should have thought about this. وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget the greatness and the grace from both sides. You went the extra mile in your 5-year marriage, 10-year marriage, so you have got two flowers, so minimum 4 or 5 years you were married to him, and you did so many good things, you must remember, for his mother, all be it not compulsory upon you, and now he forgot all that. You call that selective amnesia. And now he gave you the talaq. The talaq takes place. There's no question about that. But to both parties, I'm telling you, it's not end of the world. He gave you talaq a buy-in. Absence make the heart grow fonder. And to you, husband, if you are listening, it's your two flowers. You must ask yourself this question. Do you want your two flowers to grow up with a single parent? That is the question. Remember, the masoom, the way I understand it. So she can take you to the cleaners and make you pay. But my advice to you, that you issued that talaq, and it seems to be the first talaq. So after 3 weeks, 4 weeks, let her ask for maaf, your mother must make maaf, and then you reconcile and let sanity prevail. That is my message. The message Quran is giving, وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Both parties, you must allow that fadl. She went so many times the extra mile for your mother, for your father. Okay, she was disrespectful, but does that justify a divorce? No, brother. So you should just tell her, ask forgiveness, and end of the story. But you want to show your jat. You want to show your authority. How can you do this? I will show you. So see where it landed up and all that. So Surah 2, verse number 237. That is my message to both parties.
I see the sister is crying, dear Mufti Sahib. She's sitting on a musalla. I see many listeners also are crying. And the sister says here, dear Mufti Sahib, he says in the letter, take this as I am dead to you. Just because we had a turf of cooking. Dear Mufti Sahib, somebody says also, yeah, please tell Apa Fatima to console her, Ustad said.
So you must, they're living in Roshni, there's enough light there, whether ESCOM is there or ESCOM is not there. You know ESCOM, DC direct current, AC alternate current, ANC and no current.
Well, it's 9 minutes to 12 o'clock. Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. I'm not surprised the husband is driving to you. You are an honest, truthful Mufti at any chance. When my husband and I have disagreement and he knows he's wrong, he says, what will you do now? Call Mufti Aki Hussein. Jazakallah Mufti sir for your truthful advices and the Bliss of Marriage program. You keep us educated on our rights. Ustad, may Allah grant you long, lengthy, healthy life. Inshallah, ameen.
Ameen, ameen for all the du'as. I told you from the start, you know what, that we don't want to get physically involved in these things here. There are people doing it. We can only give you advices, but we try to be fair to all parties because we know when people are emotional, they lie also. They add so much spice and masala to it, and then when the truth comes out, then you see what happens. So always you must make, see, I teach you one du'a. All of you read, now you read with me. Allahumma, Allahumma, oh beloved Allah, saddid lisani, ya Allah, keep my tongue truthful. All times that we speak the truth, fi sarra wa darra, fi al-ghadabi wa rida. So at the time of happiness, at the time of anger, we must learn this dua. Simple dua, 3 words, you know one word. Allahumma saddid, seen, dal, dal. The second dal got touched. So it got the sukoon, saddid, the first one got touched. So saddid lisani. So ya Allah, that make our tongues rightful, meaning it must speak straight. No all crooked business this way, that way and all that. Then lot of things will come right in life.
Somebody says that my cousin became a widow and is dependent on her son, Ustad. However, her daughter-in-law works abroad and does not want to come back home. What must my cousin's son do in this instance? He is being made to choose between his wife and her career and his widowed mother, Ustad.
In a case like that, it's very straightforward. You must remember, why did you allow your wife to go overseas? Because the dollars speak all the languages. So you were prepared to sacrifice all that. So what did Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Inna the person who has the greatest rights over the husband, over the male after his marriage is who? His mother. So inna a'zaman nasi haqqan 'ala al-mar'a zawjuha, and the person who has the greatest rights for the female after her marriage is her husband, then her parents. So you must show allegiance to your mother. Mother is one only, brother. Wife, you can get many. So tell your wife, you want to come back, you come back. You don't want to come back, you stay there, and I'll give you a talaq, one talaq, just to frighten her. You don't give the talaq, and tell her, you threaten her with the talaq, and so forth. But having said all that, you, as a husband, you are to blame for all this mess. How come initially you allowed your wife to go to Dubai, go to Riyadh, go to London, go to Hong Kong? Because the money was good. You see, money speaks all languages. Money is sweeter than honey, my brother. So that was your problem. So you shirked everything and told her. So how can you live a normal life like that? She's somewhere, 6 months, 1 year has passed to 2 years, and you are here. In the interim, your father has passed away. So you must be the one. Rabbana filli wali walidayya walil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Ya Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. You must go to your mother. Son and mother, have a heart-to-heart chat. Tell her, Ummi, oh my beloved mother, me, I will never leave you.
Allah.
And I will leave my wife for you if she don't listen to me. But for you, I'm standing, you were standing here with you as a pillar of strength. One. Two. All your expenses, I will take care of it. That is what you have to do. Then see how far you will go in life. When your mother starts making special dua, but you worried about your wife and the dollars she's got there and all this type of. So your priorities are all concocted and mixed up, brother.
I see there's a sister here. She's from the Cape. She's Ekas van die Kaap. Titi so-and-so, Ustad. She says, Muftisab, you broke my son's marriage after 6 years because his wife listened only to the bliss of marriage, and now she took the fasakh because in 6 years, my son didn't give her nafaka. How can she do that? Please, Muftisab, apologize, Ustad. Titi from Cape Town.
Before you brothers, sisters get some other ideas here, in Cape Town their terminology is, for the brother they call them Buta, and for the sister they call them Titi. So just now you'll get some other ideas, you must remember that. So therefore, just to put that your mind at ease, we don't know who it is. So my mother, my sister, your son did not nafaka his wife, did not give maintenance for 6 years and so forth. I don't know who's your son. I don't know who was your daughter-in-law and so forth. But is it right for you and your son, you bring somebody's daughter in your house as your daughter-in-law, as your husband, as your son's wife, and then you don't give her nafaka, you don't give her food, you don't give her money, not for 6 days, not for 6 months, for 6 years. And then if she asks me the question, I will say you have valid grounds for fasakh. Go there to whoever you got trust in, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, and they gave the fasakh. So why blame me when you are the guilty party? So your son is the guilty party. So why are you blaming us? So you must remember, that is a normal stunt, people. My sister, this is what men say doon. That as the blame of hulle us, ek is nie die blame nie. That is jylle problem. Is nie ons problem nie. Hoekom het jou sien so gedoen? Jy moet so vra. Nie van my vra nie. Jy moet vir jou sien vra. Hoekom het hy getrouw? As I nie geld het nie. So my, if you didn't understand what's going on, I'm telling the sister there, you should ask your son what business he had to get married when he doesn't have the means to look after his wife and so forth. And why blame us? That when you are the guilty party, we didn't give the fasakh, we gave the fatwa. For 6 years, anybody asked me a question, and they tell me for 6 years, the husband is not prepared to look after his wife, does not prepare to give shelter, food, clothing, all that. So they are valid grounds. So what you expect her just to stay there? No. So you must remember, justice must prevail, whether you like it or not, Omar. So that is our response to you. Apology, there's known your son must apologize to her, and you must apologize as well for siding with your son.
I think she didn't know, Ustad. She says, Ekas baya yammer, Ustad, Titi.
Well, Titi, alles is reg. Money worry, no. No more kans duana. No, no prat. So you must remember that. So now we are on the same page.
Ustad, one more before we go, inshallah, for the 12 o'clock news. Can Muftisab explain the method of nikah and ruksati later? So maybe nikah this week, and the girl goes to her husband after 1 month. When should walima be made, now or when she goes and stay with her husband? Ustad.
So remember, if nikah took place Sunday, Saturday, Friday last week, and husband, wife didn't go into khalwa, privacy, they didn't sleep, nothing, whether consummating took place or not, so all that will happen after 1 week, 1 month and so forth. Thereafter you have the walima, that's fine. But if they met or they slept together and so forth, and then after 1 month she'll go love by her husband, then after that you have what you call walima. Is not walima, it's just a normal dawat and normal invitation. Okay, quickly let me run through the program. 12 o'clock brother Yusuf Ali with the news, then 12 to 1 what is tasawuf and tazkiya, Mona Elias Patel, that will be very interesting. 1 o'clock adhan, 105 to 130 tafsir surah Maryam chapter 19 verses 51 to 55. Today between 1:30 and 2 we start a new surah, chapter 14, surah Ibrahim, verses 1 to 4. 2 to 3 madrasa on Amos Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30 this morning the Q&A, the repeat of it of this morning. 3:30 to 4 surah Wal-Layli Idha Yakhsha, the sabab and nuzul, the reason why it was revealed by Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri in Urdu between 3:30 and 4. 4 to 5 surah Al-Qalam, lessons from the noble Quran, Maulana Ridwan Qadhi. 5 to 7 will be Mauna Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30, the repeat of Surah Maryam. Of Surah Maryam, verses 51 to 55. 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel. 8 to 10, month after Dana. MashaAllah, Maulana Zaid will be speaking there, and Ibrahim Vadachia will be speaking. So a lot of good things there. 10 to 11, a new series with Sheikh Anwar Awlaki, between 10 and 11 on the year after. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 4 to 6, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali with the 12 o'clock news.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.